Okay. Lord God, Lord, as we pray tonight, some might feel you and some might not. We thank you, Lord, for giving us that overcoming power. And Lord, we thank you for casting out every unholy thing inside of us. And Lord, we're glad that you've made this outlet for each one of us to come to and to fellowship, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are yours and that you're yours, and we're going to just run after you with all of our hearts, Lord. And we're going to be yours forever and ever. We thank you for being with us. You know, Lord, it's not that we might get to heaven when we die. We just go away from that littleness stuff and that selfishness from our soul. And it's not, Lord God, that we might escape from punishment. For God, we put away that little old stuff too. We would be yours because it's worthy of a son of God to be like his Lord. And we want to follow you, Lord, right directly into your footsteps. We would be yours because we have desired to join our hands and hearts in the biggest thing the world ever knew, and that's the redemption of all mankind to God forever when they run after you, Lord. We love you. And we ask, Lord, that by your grace, that you'll cleanse our hearts and make us that dwelling place that you desire, Father. I ask that you anoint each one of us tonight, Father, to give out the things that you have asked us to give out. And I thank you, Lord, it's going to be an awesome time because you're going to guide us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to do tonight is tell you that the Lord showed me some things about myself during this ordeal that I've gone through, that we've all gone through here in this family. One of them is that sometimes we don't understand it, the things that happens to us and to the ones we love. And sometimes it brings out in our hearts the things that has been hindering our walk. One of the things that the Lord showed me, and I'm just talking about myself. I don't, everybody else in, that's been involved in this has to account for their own selves, you know, work out their salvation with fear and trembling by themselves. But the Lord did show me, I don't know, I've lost everybody. There you are. The Lord did show me that I had an idol in my heart, and my idol was my boys. And he showed me that this morning. And I repented and told the Lord, you know, Lord, you can just do whatever you need to do. And I thank you that I'll be forever grateful for these trials and these things that come upon me to strengthen me and give me more of you so that we can slide through these things without a whole lot of heart problems, you know. I'm talking about spiritual heart problems. It's been real hard this last week. It's been real hard. But without God, it would have been almost unbearable. And I just thank God for bringing me through this. And for those of you who don't know, I lost my grandson last week. It's been hard. Like I said, if it hadn't been for God, I wouldn't have made it. You find out real quick, believers and unbelievers amongst you. You also find out about yourself too, and where you are and what your walk is like with God. I believe through this whole ordeal, it has strengthened me considerably. I'm just talking about myself. Strengthened me considerably and humbled me in ways that needed. And I thank the Lord for it in Jesus' name. Okay, just having said that, I did repent of having the boys being my idol, and they were. I talked about them a lot. I was believing for things that the Lord had given me Balaam answers for, and for that, I got really humbled. But that's what God does for us, isn't it? He says we have to work these things out with Him teaching us and guiding us the whole way. Because if He's not teaching us, guiding us, you're not going to learn anything. You won't learn a thing from it. But when He teaches you and brings you through these things, and you ask these sometimes silly questions, we think are silly questions, but there's answers we want to know, And then God, just in His grace and His mercy, gives you the answers for them. Okay, Lord, I understand. I don't know if it's making a whole lot of sense here, but I'm trying to share my heart with you about what transpired this past week. And you find out real quick who your friends are, and you find out real quick who believers are. But you make a lot of mistakes during these kind of times. Make a lot of mistakes. But our God is a forgiving God. He's a forgiving God. And we just have to keep our mouths closed and just allow the Lord to only speak through us. And when you do that, people will be affected. So, having said that, I lost a friend and a grandson, but I've got another one. I got four more that I can direct my prayers to and about. So that's what God showed me. It's not about me, or it's not about Him. It's about God and Jesus and following Him and doing what He wants us to do and allowing God to work in our lives instead of us trying to direct God and crying out to Him for things that we want rather than what God wants. And I'm going to be quiet with that. All right. Anybody got any? Yeah, Leon.
I just wanted to say that James talks about if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Mm-hmm. But this is what you're explaining to us right now. God has imparted wisdom on you. It was a very hard situation for you. And actually, it was a hard situation for us as well. But He's given you an amazing amount of wisdom through this. And we ask it thinking it's just going to be the easy road. God will give us wisdom and we'll be, everything will be okay. But God's wisdom is sometimes hard to deal with.
Yep.
So I want to comfort you as best I can, brother. I love you. And I'm sorry that this happened to you. And I just lift you up to the Lord. And well, I thank you for being here tonight.
Amen. Well, it's just my family.
Yeah.
These are my family, my friends. I thank you, Leon, for that. Thank you very much. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests or comments or anything? How about praise?
There's times like these and that, you know, you can feel like you're Job's friends trying to help somebody out because you don't sometimes always have the wisdom in your heart to speak about these things. But I think he said a lot for us. And, you know, when we have to search through this difficult situation and then have God show us what his will and his way is all about this, then we have to submit to what he's doing and his way he's going to proceed through things. I think it makes us a little more mindful of just what grace is and who he is and how he proceeds and how he chooses to do things. And then it makes us more, like you said, humble to everything that's going around us. And at the same time, it may not necessarily take away the dull pain as much, because that pain's always there. When we lose somebody, that pain's there. And we do sincerely feel for you, Michael, on that. And I met Austin. I seen a young man, in the early stages of life. So, and whenever we see somebody this, when their loss happens, it's very bewildering. So, Father, thank you for allowing us to come together. Being a body doesn't always necessarily mean it makes it easy to absorb everything that you that life brings and the tragedies along with the successes and the when the tragedy comes, Lord, we depend upon you and we praise you still for these times, but we still are mindful that we always need your grace to pull us through and help us, to guide us, and we come to you tonight also for these times to help us learn and at the same time find you in all this and praise you and glorify your name and lift us up and bring us through these days. And thank you, Father, for being with us to help us through these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Well, all right. Anyone else? Thank you, David. Anybody got a praise report or testimony? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, Michael, I just wanted to say I was really sorry to hear about this. I just feel like I want to pray for you. Mm-hmm. If I could. Lord, I just lift up Michael tonight. This week, Lord, I thank you that you are doing miraculous things in his life. I thank you for his heart for you, his heart for seeking you, stretching out, looking to enter into that. Lord, I just thank you that you given a certain amount of time to us of Justin's life that he has been here with us and been with Michael all these years. Lord, that certainly was a tremendous benefit to Michael and to Justin. But Lord, I just ask that you would open up Michael's eyes, give him your wisdom in this time, Lord, that your healing is going to start in a deeper way, that you're going to bring truth and perspective to this situation in his life. Thank you for the startings of the things that you brought into his life and removed things there. Lord, that you might work in a more full way in his life and his influence and all those that touch him, that he associates with, will be affected in that. Lord, just bless his heart now and heal him. Lord, I know that praise you, Jesus. Lord, just touch him with the Holy Spirit. Fill him. Bring forth that wisdom in his heart and in his life and in his mind. Fill him with your word. Thank you, Lord, that you're taking the things that are shaking in his life and removing them and bringing forth the things that are stable in his life. And just thank you for it. Lord, we just trust you to continue to guide Michael in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. All right. Anyone else got a praise report or testimony or would like to pray or need prayer? Well, okay. What y'all want to talk about tonight? I want to talk about Jesus. Okay, Leon.
Hey, before we get started with that, I would like to pray for Sharon Salen. I thought she'd be on by now, but I talked to her earlier today, and I think she's made a decision to up and come down here on a permanent basis. She's got a friend who's a real estate lady. She'll just turn her house over to her, and when she sells it, pay all her bills, and she'll just come on down here, though. But let's pray about that, if you wouldn't mind, if you guys would join with me. I'm going to pray for her. And Lord God, I just lift up Sharon to you, Lord God, and I pray that she is in your will with what she's going to do, Lord God, and that if, in fact, this is what you want her to do, Lord, you would guide her, that you would have the person come and buy her house and almost immediately so she can fund herself, and that she would be able to get enrolled in classes, and I think that's what she wants to do, take some classes, and that you would just make everything smooth and work very well, and she could transition here and become part of this group, and that you would bless her for her efforts, and Lord, you just do what you want with Sharon, And if we can help at all, just guide us as well, Lord God. And just bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. And Lord, if it's not right time for her, just close the doors.
Yes, indeed.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Denny. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah. Hi, Judy.
See me, but I'm here.
Yeah, I see you.
I just wanted to say hi and that we miss you and love you very much and been praying for you night and day. And
well, thank you so much. I know you have been. I've been feeling them.
Also, I want to have a praise report.
All right.
Had been in jail, and they're letting her out again now on her house arrest. She was, a judge kind of wanted her to spend 8 months in the county jail, but we prayed and prayed, and I've been praying like, man, today I've been praising the Lord all day.
Amen.
Long.
Praise God.
She's out on house arrest, so thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Love you, Michael.
Yeah, love you too, hon.
Amen.
Love you both. All right, you know, and we don't say that very flippantly. We say that with a heart because it's true love when we come together and locally and here too. All right, anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
Look, I was watching some... ask the Lord for wisdom. I need the revelation for the dream I had a couple of weeks ago. Does you need some wisdom? You can pray for me, please.
Okay. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you've already given Joe. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to give him discernment for this dream he's had. And Lord, bring it to him what it means. I know we've been real busy around here, and it's been kind of hectic, and I know David's dealing up there and there by himself. So, Lord, I thank you for giving Joe the wisdom for his dream. Give him another dream, Lord, that shows him what it means. In the name of Jesus, there we go. I believe it, Joe. Look for it, because it's coming.
Thank you.
Amen. Go ahead, Leah.
Did you share that dream, or are you?
No, he sent it to me to give to David.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Shucks. I like dreams.
You do. It's up to him if he wants to share it. Yeah. It's up to him. All right. Anybody else? Oh, sorry, Angelica. Go ahead, hon.
That's okay, brother. I just wanted to tell you that I love you, brother, and I thank you for the work that you do for all the brethren. And my heart is hurting along with yours, and I just wanted to pray with you or pray for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I just lift up to you, Michael, Lord God, and I thank you, Lord God, for giving the heart of a servant, Lord God. I thank you for the faith that he imparts to us daily, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the love in his heart, Lord God, for all of us, Lord God, and the encouragement which he gives us daily in your word, Lord God, and leading us and guiding us into you, Lord God, into your truth, Lord. And I just pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that same encouragement, Lord God, into his heart, Lord God, that you would touch his heart, Lord God, and comfort him, Lord God, and that you would heal the wounds in his heart, Lord God, and strengthen him, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, and continue, Lord God, to keep him in the faith, Lord God, and strengthen him in his body, Lord God, in his mind and his heart, Lord God. And I just come against all heaviness, Lord God, and And I just thank you for him, Lord God. We're all very thankful for the work that he does and his obedience to you, Lord God, and his willingness to do so, Lord. And I just bless him, I'm very blessed by him, Lord God. So I pray, Lord God, that you would just minister, Lord God. I loose ministering angels, Lord God, to minister to him day and night, Lord God, healing and faith, Lord God, and strength, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I receive every bit of that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? I've been reading a little bit here and there. From Merlin Carruthers. It's called Bringing Heaven into Hell. And it's a good book. It's and he talks about in here about these sins that we like, that we don't want to give up. And some of you saying, well, I give up every sin. Well, let's see. He talks about it in here. He talks about a ball and a shackle. Have we been shackled? Have you ever met anyone who enjoyed being shackled? Or I'd better ask, do you enjoy being shackled? Do you have your very own ball and chain that you carry around? In the letter to the Hebrews, the writer says, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. Hebrews 12 and 1. Most of us Christians have put away these obvious outward sins that are easily seen, like theft, murder, and adultery. What we haven't given up is usually hidden in our minds, in our hearts, and it might be our attitude toward those who steal, kill, or commit adultery. Jesus wants to show us that the root of our problem is in the invisible, hidden thoughts of our hearts. He says, for from the heart comes evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, theft, lying, and slander. Matthew 15 and 19. Like the fellow with the ball and chain, we tell ourselves we can get along pretty well carrying our extra burden. And we say, I'm only human and I have my weaknesses, but at least I'm not as bad as that fellow over there. We can do that for a while, but there comes a day when God will bring our hidden weaknesses to our attention in a way we cannot ignore. For years, I struggled with immoral thoughts and lustful dreams. They always made me feel guilty, and I asked God to forgive me and deliver me from the temptation. But soon, I was right back to where I started. It was a vicious circle, and I thought I'd have to live with it for the rest of my life. And then one day, it came to me that what is most difficult for us humans is precisely what God wants to do for us. If I really wanted to give up my immoral thoughts, God would take them and give me Christ's thoughts on the matter instead. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Paul told the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 5. Of course, I said immediately, you know, God, I want to think only pure thoughts. But then a new idea presented itself. Would you be willing to have all your thoughts projected on a screen over your head for everyone to see? Well, I felt myself get hot under the collar. What if I wanted to keep a wrong thought for just a tiny little while before giving it up? I was suddenly not so sure I was ready to give my thoughts to God after all. My problem was no longer a sin I could not stop, but a sin I was not sure I wanted to stop. Before I had been able to consider myself a hapless victim of the tempter's snare and had pleaded with God to deliver me, now he was showing me that I could be delivered in an instant if I wanted. The truth of James' words burned in my mind. Temptation is the pull of man's own evil thoughts and wishes, James 1:14. Shamefacedly, I had to admit that I actually enjoyed my hidden thoughts. Surrendering them was not easy. Satan was busy whispering in my ear that from now on, my life would be pretty dull. Finally, I was able to say, Lord, I thank you for all these thoughts that have taught me the truth about myself. Forgive me, Lord. Now, take my mind. I surrender it to you. And if you want to project my thoughts on a screen, that's all right with me. Only let me have the mind of Christ. Satan's whispers had been unfounded. They always are. Instead of boredom, I experienced glorious relief. And whenever I saw a pretty girl, I was only filled with joy and gratitude. Often tears flowed as I realized the clean, new pleasure God had given me. Now I could appreciate the beauty of God's creation that before had been marred by my own ugly thoughts. I wanted to share my new freedom with the men in my church and was in my study preparing for the meeting when suddenly a heavy gloom filled the room. It was as if the devil himself had entered and seemed to say, don't you dare talk about that. It's my territory. Keep out. And when I stood before the men to speak, my throat constricted and the words came with difficulty. But I was able to give the same challenge to them that I had received myself. Many men joined me in surrendering our thoughts to God. The next day, Mary and I flew to Indiana on a speaking tour, and there we met our good friends Jean and Vivian Leek. Jean took me to his farm to see a new piece of equipment, a huge fan used to dry the grain. I leaned down for a closer look. Then Jean turned on the fan, and a rat that had been hiding inside was shredded into 1,000 pieces. The mess spread over me as the filth of blood and intestines filled my eyes and nostrils and mouth and ran down in front of my clean shirt. It seemed I could hear the devil leer in my ear. That's what you get for intruding on my territory, trying to clean up men's hearts. But I realized with the burst of joy, Satan can make me filthy on the outside, but Christ has made me on the inside clean. Is there something you have tried to give up but can't? It may be something visible such as alcohol or tobacco, drugs, or something less obvious like watching too much television, reading the wrong literature, or listening to the wrong music. Whatever it is, the problem always originates in your thoughts. Even medical authorities have come to agree with Jesus on that point. They can forcibly remove alcohol, tobacco, drugs, or extra calories from a person, but as long as the psychological addictions remains, the person will return to his or her old habits at the first opportunity. Psychological addiction is just another term for something which our minds and hearts won't let go of. So be honest with yourself and with God. Do you secretly enjoy your weakness? Are you trying to give it up, but at the same time allowing yourself to think or daydream about it? Do you imagine the taste of that banana split or the calming effect of the cigarette. Do you really want to give it up? So test your sincerity. Can you say to God, put my thoughts on a screen if you like, so that my wife and children, my neighbors and friends can know what I think? And when a wrong thought presents itself, and it will just to test you, imagine it projected on that screen. Confess it to God and say, I've surrendered that thought. I won't think about it. Absolutely not. Excuse me. So I guess that's what we'll talk about tonight, is getting rid of those thoughts that hinder our walk, that ball and chain, that last little vestige of sin that we kind of like a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? I know some of you. Okay, go ahead, Eleazar.
I heard evil thoughts before in my time. That, you know, when I do cleaning stuff, I always hate myself to clean stuff. So evil thoughts get in my head and say, do it later. Later. Do it later. And I'm like, who am I even talking to? And I was confused and stuff like that. I got in trouble a few times when I was doing the bathroom stuff, getting consequences. I know what consequences look like, but yeah. And then until my mom said that you always have to clean and help your family and stuff like that. And I learned that pretty much every day until I prayed to God and said, I want those evil thoughts out of my head till when I'm done cleaning. And so it did. And yeah, and it went away. I was in sin for quite a couple of minutes. Yeah, it went away. Thank God for his protection.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's what we have to do. We have to cast those thoughts down. That's what the Lord tells us. Cast those vain imaginations down.
Yeah. Also, I have to go. I had to study something important. Also, I have dinner with my family, so I'm sorry, guys. Okay. God bless you all.
You too. Bless you.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Night.
Good night, buddy. All right. Anybody else? About these thoughts that enter our mind and how to get rid of them. Yeah, Willie.
All right. You know I'm excited because I was like, I wonder if I should say what the Lord should do. You know, then when you read that, you know, that part from out of the book there, I was like, yeah, that's just total confirmation right there. But yeah, the Lord talked to me about it. Everything you just said, he talked to me about a while ago, about the secret thoughts, you know, about the sins you really don't want to let go, and do you really want to let them go? And I remember him dealing with me on that psychological sinful addiction, you know, because if you don't get rid of it psychologically, you know, it's still there harboring, you know, in your mind, you know, psychologically, my art is still there, you know, and it will always pull me into that really dark place of sin, you know, so I have to really, you know, buckle down on truly letting that go. It's like one of those little jewels in my pocket. Oh, but the Lord did something interesting with me. He challenged me 4 days ago, and I talked to Joe about this, And I said, the Lord said, for every evil thought that comes into your mind, for every time you ridicule a person in your heart, for every single time you lust, you know, every time you have a sinful thought, you know, anything that you catch, I want you to speak in tongues. And he said, I want you to do that for 7 days. And so I said, that's an interesting challenge. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. First day. Spent all day speaking in tongues. That's how bad it was. Look at a girl, speaking in tongues. Look at a person, didn't like what they had on or a certain way they look or a certain way they behave, speaking in tongues. You know, and so I found it really interesting that the Lord had me to do that. Now I'm in my fourth day now. And so for every single, you know, thought of lust or ridicule against someone or, you know, evil desire or whatever it might be, you know, the Lord says, you know, as you catch it, I want you to speak in tongues. And so I've been doing that, and it actually changes you. It stops you from having those evil thoughts. It stops you from having those lusts. It kind of turns it off. Like, now, you know, and I've been catching it, turning off those certain things, you know, or catching it ahead of time. You know, oh, here comes ridicule, you know, and I'll stop speaking tongues before it comes out. Oh, here comes lust, and I'll stop and speak in tongues. It was like he was having me attack, you know, everything after it happened and even now before it's happening. So now I'm catching it before it comes out, you know, and he's helped me to notice the sinful man, like how Paul said, it's no longer that I have the sin, but sin that, you know, that sinneth in me. And teaching me how to separate those two things, you know. and just when I repent, you know, don't look at it as willful. Because I used to look at sin as being just willful all the time. You know, I lived in fear of God a lot. But I did find that really interesting. If anyone speaks with tongues, you know, and you're dealing with certain thoughts and certain desires or certain people, you know, or certain challenges and something, you know, speaking tongues right after it happens. You know, I just found it really interesting that the Lord told me to do it, and it's actually really effective. Then the Lord said to me, you know, as I was doing it, he said, you know, tongues should be your language. Basically, saying is you should be using this as normally as you use English. And what he was informing me about was walking in the spirit. You know, we use it, you know, during times of emergency or during times of worship, you know, or during times of joy. It's like we use it for a certain period of things when it's actually the norm. Like in heaven, it's the norm. The heavenly language is normal in heaven, you know. God's language is normal in heaven, you know. And I'm not saying it's without power, but what I'm saying is tongues is as normal as English. It's something not just used for special occasions, you know, or when the church is together, or, you know, or during times of emergency, or, you know, just use it. Crazy people walk down the street every day crazy, talking crazy, all day crazy, to things that aren't even there. You know, they're demonic, but look at what they're doing. You know, it's almost, you know how Satan takes things and, you know, makes it the opposite, you know. But they're speaking in English and they're just, I met a girl on a bus who talked to a spirit as if she was talking on the cell phone, and she would not stop. Yep, girl. And she said, what? Girl. What? Then I told her. I was like, what's going on with this girl? At first, I thought she was on the phone until I turned around. But yeah, I just found it to be a very wonderful experience. It helped me to attack every secret thought, you know, every dark and latent sinful layer, you know, some things you don't want to let go. It started revealing a lot of nits and bits and pieces of my heart. You know, it caused me to examine myself, like, let me examine that, speak in tongues, speak in tongues, 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 until your whole day almost gets filled with tongues. It's very, it was just, I'm just saying, it's very interesting. It was, so I just wanted to share that because I thought it was kind of cool.
Amen. Man, if that keeps your thoughts pure, just, that's a good way to do it too. That's a good way to do it. Yeah, Leah.
I want to ask Willie, would you say that would be having the mind of Christ, speaking in tongues?
I'd say it gives you the mind of Christ because the Lord, you know, told me for those 7 days, you know, don't touch your tablet. You know, don't touch anything that's going to be entertaining. You know, because I wouldn't have focused on it. My mind would have forgotten, went on a field trip. But it definitely gives you, like, I find myself rejoicing in awkward moments, you know, or yeah. Praying for people in awkward moments, you know. It's doing different things to my mind, you know, in how it's transforming it. It's definitely working in me. Compassion on people. I noticed I was having awkward moments of compassion. For me, what would be awkward moments, you know? Yeah. But I'm going to keep going with it and see what those 7 days turn out to be because it's quite nice.
Praise God. That's good.
Amen. I'll tell you something that I've used in the past to keep my mind. If I see it steering away toward something that I don't want to go into, I just pick up the Word of God and go to reading, you know. Mm-hmm. Basically the same thing, you know, just getting in the Word or praying like Willie was doing. Praying in the Spirit is a good way to do it. I like that. I pray in the Spirit a lot myself, Willie.
I kind of feel like this goal in myself to make tongues a normal thing, more than just, I want it to become more than normal. I want it to become something that I'm using all the time. You know, if I have to look crazy, I look crazy, you know, but I'd rather, you know, have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
I want to look at people with the mind of Christ. I want to have compassion on people with the mind of Christ. I want to feel the love of the mind of Christ. You know, I want that Christ explosive, you know, outward pouring, you know, in the Spirit. You know, I want that. You know, and if tongues will help me to achieve that, along with, you know, reading the Word, because that's what he got me doing as well, reading the Word every day. You know,
amen.
If I had my tablet, I would have made an excuse. Oh, you know, I got the Bible on my tablet. I can take that with me and read. The Lord said, no, you're going to do it the old fashioned way. You're going to pick up a Bible. You're going to take it to work with you. That's what you're going to do.
You know? Yeah, but Lord, I got commentaries. I got dictionaries. I got all this stuff to help me along, you know. Lord, put it down. You know as well as I do what happened when you get that iPad going. Oh, I wonder what the news is today, you know. It ain't going to hurt just for a minute. 2 hours later.
Check out YouTube real quick. You know, I'm YouTubing all night.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good way to do it. Just put that stuff down for a while and get right with the Lord. That's a good way.
And, you know, that's the place you got to get yourself in when you want to deal with your secret thoughts. You know, we house our secret thoughts in entertainment. We house our secret thoughts in hobbies. We find every way to get away from our secret thoughts, you know. And, you know, it's just a little sin. Not going to bother my walk in Christ. Yes, it is. it is polluting your whole entire being. It is stripping the very nature of what Christ really wants to manifest in you. You know, as long as I got a little kernel of Christ, you know, pouring out of me somewhere, you know, I'm good, you know. No. Imagine experiencing Christ every day. That's amazing. And that can't happen. That's supposed to happen, you know. It's supposed to be normal, and I believe that, you know. He says that he's delivered us out of the body of this death. You know, we don't have to continue to wallow in the mire of this flesh. We don't. Mm-hmm. We really don't. You know, God says, you know, he took the sow and he washed it. You know, don't go rolling back in the mire. You know, that's what we want to do, you know. Oh, it's just a little. You know, you like the skeleton on the clock. Oh, but I remember. But yeah, praise the Lord. I'm done.
I think if you'll go back in history, and see and read about the great men of God, most of them prayed a lot in the spirit. Most of them prayed a lot in the spirit. I know Lake did, and I know Andrew Murray did, and some other ones that I've read about in the past. They all prayed in the spirit a lot. Praise God. Okay.
Amen.
Anybody else got any comments on that secret sin and how to get rid of it? Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Personally, my journey has been through the Word. The first time you read something that, you know, contradicts with what you're doing, you go, well, that's okay. I'm making improvements. But it plants a seed there, and then you come across it again or another in another way, and the, you know, the conviction gets a little stronger. And, okay, you know, I'm being spoken to here. This is something that's got to be put away. And eventually, it gets to the point where you see that and you go, yeah, I remember when I was that way. And, you know, you thank God, you know, that grace is taken over and removed that from you. And then, lo and behold, there's another one. And you start working on that. And, you know, God starts working on it. You just let him do the work. And so that's why the Word is, you know, spending time in the Word has been very important. Just because the changes that it manifests, and you know, it allows you to correct yourself, so that hopefully you can, you know, be a better example, and you know, even correct others when the time comes. But for me, that's been it, is you know, the Word right here, and the wisdom that comes with it, and the grace that God's given to us. So we praise him for that.
Amen. Yep, that's right. We always learn when we finally overcome, you know, and next time, the next sin, if you know, if you keep along that same path, it'll be easy to overcome. All right. Anyone else?
I think I have to also agree with Tim on that. And it brings up a couple of passages that Missy and also Angelica brought up, because we talked about a little bit of this last week, how the Lord doesn't drive it out all at once. You know, so we're constantly being brought into a light about what the Lord's driving out of us. And then we see it for what it is, and we're able to cooperate with the Lord and his grace, and he does that. And those two verses were Deuteronomy 7:22, and then Missy went into Exodus 23. But the Deuteronomy 22 says, "And the Lord thy God will cast out those nations before thee little by little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee." And then the other one is in Exodus, he says, 23:29, says, "I will not drive them out from before you or thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. But little by little I'll drive them out before you until you have increased and inherit the land. So being mindful that whatever the struggle is we're getting in our mind, because most of the struggles we have are affronted in our mind always. Because if we can win territory in our mind, it's going to win territory in our actions. So that's where the battlefield's always at, in that this little brain here we got going. And once we see and understand what that battle is we're fighting with, then the Lord comes on our side and we're bringing it to the Lord's attention and we're pleading for his help. That's when the Lord starts to work on our side to help us drive it out. But we're not always aware of every little battle we're going through and what we're being assailed with until the Lord brings it to light. And then we're able to fight the battle and we become the overcomer. We get the victory. So he doesn't do it all at one time. And I was telling my sons about that tonight, because I was talking a little bit about that spirit of rejection testimony. I gave both of them the looks into that, because I know they picked up some of that from me, because I see it in their lives, but they don't see it. But maybe after the testimonies, they'll start realizing it. And I was saying, you know, basically, we're in a spiritual battle, but we don't realize the battle we're in until we understand and see what the enemy is doing to us and what we're going through. Then when we start getting light, God shows it to us, then we realize the battle, we realize how dependent we are upon the Lord to overcome these enemies, because they're giants in our land. And we were never supposed to be able to defeat them by ourselves. God made them giants so that we would find the grace of the Lord and strength from him to overcome these things and know that we needed a savior. We needed that salvation. We needed somebody to help us overcome. And then we humble ourselves to that, and then we get the grace, and God comes in our life and helps us overcome these giants that are in our land. But it, like Exodus says and Deuteronomy says, it doesn't happen all at once. He's not going to drive them all at once. And he gives us a reason, because otherwise, well, the beasts of the field would multiply against us. So if we're aware of that, too. We can just make sure we're still in the race by doing the battle when it comes up in front of us, and we're handling them one by one like that, when, depending upon the Lord, with our humility, that he's the one that's going to help us drive them out.
Amen. That's good. Anybody else? What do you think, Andrew? About these old secret sins. I know you ain't got none.
We are supposed to be free from sin. It says it twice. I know that. And, actually, it was just the other day where sometimes these sayings that someone said way back in your life would come back to you. And it's not a very nice saying. And one of those sayings popped into my head. Of course, I'm going, well, where did that come from? You know, and I go, how do these sayings just pop in like this? Is it something that I was focusing on or whatever, you know? And you go, well, I know this is wrong. So you start to pray on the inside and you go, Lord, this is not of you at all. And I can't have this saying anymore. You know, I can't have this pop into my head. Because it's not me, it's the tempter who wants me to agree with this saying. And so you fight against it. And I did that. And then about 15 minutes later, the saying came back again. And I was going, there must be something that's triggered this, you know. And I just couldn't figure it out. So, you know, you prayed down again. And then you go, he's trying to convince me of this. You know, it was something that was said to me way back in high school, okay? And I don't even know why I was thinking of it, you know? It was actually a person I used to work for, a print shop, and he just made this comment. And now that comes back to me, because it was something I repeated at the time when I was in high school, because it sounded funny, but it's not really funny at all. It's actually very odd and morbid. And when that saying pops into your head, you gotta cast it down. And there was another time though where I had a real big turmoil in my life. And of course you're there wondering what can I do? You know, where could my train of thought be? You know, and then suddenly in my head it just popped in there and it said, what has changed between me and what God's word has for me? Nothing has changed in God's word for me. And even though I had to go through this thing, nothing changed in his word for me. And it was comforting at the time, very much so. And, you know, it was almost like I was even in striving for something from God and saying, it just came out and I said, Lord, nothing really changed in your word for me here. And it was like the burden went, you know, but you know, something else might bring it back. And then someone might give you a verse or something to go on to, and that slices it back down to where it's supposed to be and out of you, you know, because really nothing has changed in God's word for you when this devastation comes to you. For you, nothing really changed. His word is eternal forever. And that just came into my head, and it was when I was really green when this thing happened too. And I just was actually reminded about that just recently. And I went, yeah, I remember that. It, nothing really, you know. I still remember like looking up the staircase where I used to live, and I just said, Lord, what really has changed, you know, in your word for me? And there was no thought or anything that came into my mind. It was just cleared of all that stuff. And it was a pretty massive thing that I went through there. And nothing's changed in his work for me. And it was a nice thought that he put in me to repeat back to the Lord. And praise God.
Amen. Yep. It ain't changed. It ain't gonna change either. So we the ones got to change, right? Much as we don't like to, it's got to be us. And God helps us do it too. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Angelica.
Hey, brother, I just wanted to share just some things that the Lord showed me just early on in my walk. And I think it's been one of the key things that's really helped me to be firm in my foundation and in my walk is first I'll start with the scripture Jeremiah 17:9. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And, you know, when I first came to the Lord, you know, my testimony is, you know, pretty much the same as all, you know, you're about the end of your rope. You want to commit suicide and all that stuff. And the Lord had a grace on me. But the one thing that always sticks out in my heart and my mind is that, you know, he blew me away from, you know, I thought I knew something about him. Everything I knew was a lie. And so I understood that when I come to the truth, how freeing it was, the freedom when I came to the truth, because the truth shall set you free. And because my life had never been anything, you know, so wonderful. I never had experience. And, you know, my life was cursed, you know, and just heartbreak. And so here, you know, here the Lord gave me this truth and this freedom. And to me, the most important, I just realized, you know, how ridiculous man can be, you know. all of creation testifies to God's existence. It confirms God's word. There's only two things that really that come against it, and that's the mind of a man, his thoughts, and the devil and his wicked ones. And they're really the same source, you know. And, you know, we're no different than the beasts of the field. That's what the Bible says. We're no different. And so I just learned that, you know, my thoughts are nothing. My opinions are nothing. And that was something that was really important to me, because I found myself as, you know, because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the tents of the heart. And I always found myself in that, you know, and always in decision-making mode, where the word of God would bring to my mind where I was concerning an issue, and I had a choice to make. And, you know, and some areas I failed, you know, in some areas I was quick to give it away. In some areas, you know, the pleasure areas or the things that you, the only way you know, because it's the only way you experience, you know, is a little harder, but, you know, you tend to hold on to those things. But, you know, it's still a decision. You're still in, you know, the Lord is still, how can I say, your conscience is still there telling you, you know, and the Holy Spirit is there telling you, you know, this is grievous to your spirit. And we have a decision to make, you know, we always have a decision to make. And this is the scary part, is when we, because the heart is deceitfully wicked, we want to deceive ourselves and think that the Lord's going to make an exception for us in our sin, that we can flirt with sin and, you know, we'll come out fine on the other end. And, so I just, you know, I always try to, what the Lord has shown me is always try to get to the root of the thought. Where did that thinking come in? You know, where did I learn this? And, you know, was it an experience? Was it a lie someone's told me? Was it a book I read? Whatever. And, you know, and then I find the word of God, and I have to sit there and write to myself sometimes and reason for the word of God, reason why it's good to follow after the Lord, because your mind reasons against it. And, you know, that process is very grievous, because, you know, the flesh is, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And, so I found that helps me a lot. I like to sit there and look at a scripture and tear it apart and use words and get the definitions and write a paragraph to myself as why, you know, reason for the word of God, because the devil's always reasoning 100, you know, every day, all day against the word of God. And this has always helped me to come against those hidden thoughts and cast them down as soon as I have them. And I'm not saying that I've, you know, I might've, you know, have some, you know, but I always pray, Lord, reveal that to me. And I don't want to be deceived. I want the truth. You know, that's just my little sharing there.
Amen. I think we all do. I think we all want the truth, but how we go about it is, it's, you know, everybody has a different way. One way is not the way. There's a lot of ways that you can help overcome this thing. What do you think, Pat? Well, you had it there.
Wait a minute. Am I there now?
Yeah, there you are. That's okay.
The one thought that came to me was, first of all, I just want to confess something that I've been dealing with, and it's kind of come back on me. I know that one of the things that the Lord, one of the scriptures he's been showing me here in the last few days was, it's kind of a reference, but it was pulling the cover off of the light that he has given me. And I looked up that scripture. It's over in Matthew 5:14. Matthew 5:15. But it starts out and says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on a stand, and it shineth unto all that are in the house. Even so let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." When the first time that the Lord kind of revealed that scripture to me was when I was still back in the church. And I had gone through a time when I was letting my light shine before men in the church and outside as well. And that light wasn't really received too well. And the Lord showed me a lot of things through the process and humbled me. I probably for the majority of my time was asking forgiveness to certain people that I had offended. Now, whether or not I offended them by trying to push my point or reveal what I had been given, etc., I don't know if it was my offense or if it was offensive. The word of God was offensive. I suspect it was more me being offensive, through the process of being rejected, I didn't really like that too well, etc. To make a long story short, which for me is almost impossible to do, but I'll give it an attempt. I started to keep these things in that the Lord was showing me, and kind of a test the waters type of approach that I would talk to somebody or mention something about that may be related to what they were going through. And if I could see or sense that they were not really accepting that premise or that concept, I would just shut up. And it was, I hate to say this, but it was more or less a thing. Well, if they got to learn by the hard knocks, maybe that's the way they got to learn. So God bless them and go for it. Unfortunately, I think that there is this spirit of rejection or this thing of rejection that I was going through. I believe that the Lord was probably trying to break that or reveal that or attack that at that time. And I kind of pulled back within myself and kind of, I'm not going to say closed off, but I wasn't expressing. I was covering that light that God gave me. And that really kind of permeated my life as I went through the process of coming out of the church and going through a community and that whole process of my life, and I think I was struggling and probably am still struggling with the vestiges of that now. And reason, and so that was why it was difficult to come back to these teleconferences, because it was a breaking through. God was showing me, you know what, it's time to go out. It's time to bear that light, open up and express and give out what you've been given, etc. And so to a certain degree, that was my purpose in coming back to the teleconferences, and it was kind of a fearful time getting over that hurdle type of thing. But not only I think God wants me to start to uncover and reveal the light that he's given me, but he's also shown me that too often I want to search for those high, strong strengths, strong points in my life, or, you know, give a good positive expression or reveal something in the scripture that he showed me, etc., so that no one will think I'm failing or I'm a failure or whatever. So that I like to look wise in front of everybody, or however that would be taken. So there's some sort of a rejection thing happening there, like, am I accepted the way I am, etc., or whatever. So what I wanted to get down to the point was, I think because of this, not wanting to express myself, to close in, to find that protective place where I can feel comfortable, I don't have to break out. And one of those things is, I would like get into watching movies or something, and just because then I can lose myself in whatever this storyline would be, and just get out of the requirement to interact with somebody and or whatever it would be. And so I'm throwing that out right now because it's kind of hit me again tonight, and I just want to throw it out, especially what Willie was talking about, is that that's something you really are feeling desirous to go into that place or go there and isolate yourself and be in that place so that you don't have to really react or respond or express yourself in other areas, or let that light shine out. Or if that light is darkness, let that darkness open up, that darkness, and let other people see that and pray for you and confess that, get rid of it, open it up, and try to allow the light into all those areas. That's the area of my life that I need to open up the light and let the light shine in. I feel that it's like a place where I can go, that I can get almost like drugs. I can go there and not have to. I can feel not safe. I just feel like I don't have to interact. I can go there and be, where a place of pleasure, where I can just think about something else or whatever. So I'm kind of throwing that stuff out. It kind of hit me tonight as I was listening to the others speak here. So I just wanted to throw it out and ask for prayer. I'm repenting of it right now as I speak, and ask the Lord just to take it out of my life, replace that desire to enter into that fullness of His life and to find out all of those areas of security and fearlessness and boldness, and bring that Spirit of Christ back in full life in me. And so that's my prayer and my confession, I guess, all in one.
Amen. Lord, me too. Me too.
Thank okay, you. We're going to do the Hail Mary real quick here. Give everybody your beads. No, okay. I agree. Right with you, Pat. That's what knocked me out of the park a couple weeks ago, was I needed an escape. I thought too much was happening. I didn't have control, and I just couldn't draw close to God, so I grabbed the movies. Oh, my gosh. Worst mistake I ever made in my life. Especially I'm thinking, I'm going to go find the free movies on my phone. And, oh, wow, this looks like one to watch. And watching it, and all of a sudden, oh, I didn't want to see that nudity. That's not what I came here for. I wanted to see something else. It's like, oh, I just got defiled. You know, and here you are getting defiled, not even looking for that. And then the conviction. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that anyways. And then the Satan's all over you. Then you got the condemnation. And you failed God. And then He's convicting you about why you went there in the first place, because you're trying to escape, you know, find an escape. Because that you're really, you know, something else is driving you there. Like me, it was pride of my job. And I needed a escape from that thing, you know, because I was thinking, oh, I just wasn't treating that whole circumstance right either. And so here you find yourself all kind of jumbled up again and thinking, how did I get in this mess? And you think, Lord, I got to find my way back to you, but I don't know how. And so then you're repenting and you're getting the Lord's coming back saying, yeah, you screwed up. Yeah, I'm pointing it all out to you. I'm angry. I'm not going to be angry very long, but I am angry because, you know, you get to a level where he wants you to know that, you know, you're not a new Christian anymore. And if you make mistakes when you know you shouldn't be doing them, well, there's a little higher expectation. Not that I'm saying he's expecting you to be perfect, but why'd you fall for that? You know? So he's going to let you know real quick, yeah, I'm going to bring you back, but you know, I want you to understand a little bit of this, like the Job experience, and reason through this a little bit. And then he brought me back in, and I got my faith. And then that's why I started sharing these grace testimonies from and teaching from David, because you know, you have to understand how grace works in your life. And then you see the demons, you get back in and realize, oh wow, there's still a spiritual warfare out there, and I just kind of got distracted, and I forgot that they can jump right on you in a second, you know. It's all part of the process. I can't say it's a good process to go through, but you know, if you go through it, you have to still get back to the basics, understand the grace, understand salvation, and know it's the Lord's that are going to bring you through it, you know, and you just keep on clinging on to the word and don't let go. And that's probably all I can really share. That's not like I got anything wisdom here. This mother and I experienced the same thing a few weeks ago, and that's when you guys started talking about rejection, and that, oh, okay. Yeah, I remember all that too, you know, but you still make mistakes along the way. But I tell you what, when you make them and you think, oh, geez, I see the problem, you purge all the evil out of your life. You just don't want that back, because you got this peace with the Lord, you know. You just don't want that peace being disrupted. And when that's disrupted, you know something's wrong. God, you got to get that back, you know. So I think that's something the Lord drives in us too. Let us know how wonderful it is to have the grace and peace and to walk with the Lord and being in the light and not to get and to get back out of the darkness. So that's all I got to say. Michael, are your lips moving?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was sitting here talking to everybody, but I wasn't talking to everybody. I was talking to myself. Maybe it was for me. Okay, praise God. Anybody else got something on what we're talking about here, overcoming? Yeah, Denny, I was going to call on you. Praise God.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you're muted. Hang on.
There I am.
Okay, got you now.
Yeah, I just want to share what I've been going through for the last couple of years. I've been really walking in this total victory. I've been overcoming. And this went back to when I first started reading Sovereign God and Perfection Through Christ a couple of years back. Back up home, most of the teaching was that, well, we all sin. No one can be perfect. And I heard that expression probably, I think it was six times in about a one-six-week period. And that's just where all the Christians, that's where we're all at. And that's where I was at. I was just kind of a real sin, confess cycle. Sin, confess. Well, once you get on that cycle, well, you sin because you know God's going to forgive you, so you confess it. But you almost make it a license for you to sin. You know, that's where I was at in my walk for many years. And when I started reading In Sovereign God, I saw something totally different that Dave was talking about. And he was saying that that we have to, you know, reckon ourselves dead. Like Romans said, 6 and 11. I know, Pat, you mentioned these verses back several weeks about Romans 6, 11. you have, and it's by faith. It's only by faith that we are going to overcome that sin nature. I was battling the sin nature. It was a battle, you know. And I'd win much of the time, but then I would lose, and then I would win much of, you know, and then I would lose, and I was in that kind of a cycle. But when I was started seeing what David was saying, boy, one day God just revealed it to me that what David was saying was right. So I decided, I'm going to put this to the test. I'm just going to really trust in God that Romans 6:11 says that we are to reckon ourselves dead unto sin. And so I did that one night in prayer. I just said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you that I am dead to sin, that old nature is dead. And I just put that like an act of faith towards God. But then I was expecting him to do something in me. And I sort of got out of the handling that battle myself, and I was waiting on God, and actually about 4 months went by, and I had this sitting down one time when I was just with the Lord, and looking back in my life, I said, Lord, I've been overcoming everything that comes. I just, you know, I would many times, or several times, I would say, dead men can't sin, and I'm dead. I mean, the old nature is dead, and I believe that it is dead. It's on the cross with Jesus, and you know, so I really was walking in victory, and God was doing the work in me. It wasn't so much my striving or trying to battle, but I was just resting in that faith that I'm dead to sin, but alive unto God, and so. That went on, and I think about a couple months went by. It was about 6 months or so, and I was like before the Lord again, and I was still walking in that grace, being able to overcome all the time in the old nature. And then I started to notice something, that the temptations just dropped off. They were just dropping off. I wasn't being tempted anymore. All the areas where I used to have to fight and battle and fight, I just wasn't even being tempted in those areas. And I remember reading that. I remember David even said that. I remember reading that in one of the books, either perfection through Christ, our sovereign God, that He'll be able to remove the temptation, because dead men can't be tempted. You know, so I mean, and that's why. So I know it's the area of faith. We have to battle this thing by faith, and then it's grace, because it's not me overcoming or fighting that battle and winning that battle, but it's allowing the Holy Spirit, you know, allowing that life of Christ to be in there to handle that battle. And it's His enablement. I just know that He is enabling. And it's just continued on. Well, anyway, I think it was about the 6 month time, I was sitting before the Lord one time and just reading through, and I came to Isaiah 35, and He mentions that highway of holiness. And as soon as I read that verse, the Lord just quickened inside of me. He just said to me, "You're on that highway." And I just, whoa, that's like, you know. And then I read through the rest of the verse, and it talked about no fool can knock you off, will be able to knock you off. No wild beast will be able to come there and drag you off. And it goes on to share about the highway of holiness, and then it leads to Zion. And that's where He's leading His people, to the bride, you know, to Zion. And I had to really be honest. My walk, I know my walk, and I know, you know, my relationship with the Lord, know what I've been doing and not doing, you know. And I had to, where I am, You did. You got me on that highway. That's His enablement. I mean, it was awesome. Triggered through that faith, that original faith. And then I came across another part where David is speaking, and I think it was saying that we have to get that part right, this area of faith, that the old nature is dead. Because if you don't, he said, you'll probably be struggling all your Christian life, battling that old nature. And we have to get that faith part right. And I had to, you know, bear witness with what he is saying, because I was starting all of a sudden walking. And I know my Debbie, my wife, and we've been kind of in this thing together back at that time, that kind of drew us, you know, to UBM and even moving down here, and everything was the truth that was being revealed, and it's something that you can walk in. And she's been experiencing the same thing, and we've just been, you know, we're able to overcome because that old nature is dead. And it is, it's dead. That old nature is dead. And it's Christ that, you know, that Christ in you. So I think, you know, just put it to the test, you know. Go back to God with in faith that the old nature is dead. And once it's dead, it's dead. It's, you know, it can't be alive again. If it wants to liven up again, reckon it, right? You know, reckon it dead. But, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Denny. That's right. It's all by faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Leon?
Yeah, sorry. Well.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Okay. No, I was just posting there. I could use some prayer. I must confess, I guess the last couple of years I've been battling a spirit of offense. You know, as I posted, I'm sure it's connected with rejection there. And I felt kind of offended at you there, Michael, earlier. I'm sorry. I don't know if you were talking to the other Joe, you know, saying, you know, for him to reply or me, but this spirit, you know, I could use some prayer. I mean, I don't know if that was you. You were talking to, or, well, even I felt offended last week coming out of, you know, this spirit is just, I'm not sure exactly how it works with rejection, but it causes me to read too much into body language and, you know, different stuff. I'm kind of feeling a little somewhat overwhelmed right now by all this. And
well, know, in the just, name of Jesus, yeah. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit of rejection to go from him right now in Jesus' name. You go from Joe. Yeah. In spirit of offense, you go also. Condemnation, go in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father, for complete deliverance here.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Fear of rejection, go right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Father.
Thank
you, Lord, for putting peace in his heart right now in Jesus' name. There's one thing. Once it's gone, fill that room up with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Just ask the Lord to fill you up with His Spirit. Lord, we thank you for giving Joe a fresh fill of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm not
thank
in
you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, Joe?
Amen. Yeah, I believe.
Okay, brother.
Let's say something real quick. Yeah, I didn't know. Joe, you made that comment last week
about
those grace files, but I wasn't on a conference call for about first hour almost, so I didn't even know you made that request until today. That's why I thought I'll get those up there, at least you guys can get at them.
Appreciate it.
But that was what that message was.
No, I understand what you're saying. Sometimes you get people kind of – I figure you were sitting back listening, more, and you weren't really focused on the chat, so okay. But thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, it was more just letting – and I knew you made a request, so I figured I got to get that out. But I wasn't hopefully nobody got offended by, not trying to isolate anybody or anything, so –
I wasn't.
Might want to know what I was listening to. What's this guy listen to?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, let me pray one more thing for you, Joe. In the name of Jesus, now, we command that spirit of criticism to go right now in Jesus' name. Critical spirits, go. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Judgmental spirits, you go in the name of Jesus. You have to go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Oh, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for Joe wanting to get clean, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that for him. We command all tormenting spirits that are clouding his mind with torment to go right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just thank you, Father, for putting us through these trials so we can get cleaned up and get on that highway of holiness. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for bringing that up there, Michael. I remember you said the other week, that those who deal with that, that critical spirit, that critical attitude and, judgmentalness are easy prey for unforgiveness. So I want to confess that. I was like, I struggled with that for quite some time. So I appreciate that prayer. I've had to recently, I think it's more of a prayer request an answer to prayer. I think I work with a lot of very judgmental, critical, unforgiving people, and so I had to kind of distance myself last week from one of them, who really was a temptation to get in that area. So I think it's I'm definitely grateful for that, at least I can get away from that much, and learn to be more forgiving, because I can see how that all plays in, when you're critical and judgmental and full of all those things. The easiest thing is just to be full of unforgiveness, so yep. So, amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else?
Can anybody hear me?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead, Sharon.
Yes. Before it ends, I just need some prayer. I still need prayer for financial breakthrough. I'm about to lose my car. Repossessed, and I've been going through a lot of turmoil with who I raised as my daughter, and I just cut her off tonight, totally cut her clean, And I'm just going through some emotional discomfort, you know, that's inside me. And I did pray and rebuke it out, but it's back again. I just need more people to pray for me for financial breakthrough and for health, my health to be healed, my whole body.
Okay. All right. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we come against that spirit of infirmity. Command it to go from Sharon's body right now in the name of Jesus. I don't care what you're attacking, you got to go in Jesus' name. Don't care how many of you's in there, every one of you, get up and go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of infirmity, disease, health problems, go right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that Sharon is healed in Jesus' name. And Lord, she needs a financial breakthrough. Lord, you are the provider. You are our provision. And I'm asking, and we're praying, and we're thanking you for giving her the provisions that she needs. Father, and I thank you that she's going to supernaturally receive it in Jesus' name. And Lord, put faith in her to believe that you'll do these things for her. That all she has to do, she don't have to get discouraged. All she has to do is to thank you that she's in that problem, because she's going to see the glory of God come through for her. That's all she needs to do, is to thank God for these trials that she's in. And then thank you, Lord, for manifesting your glory in her life, Lord. Because she knows she can't do it. Now it's up to you, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, Sharon, do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Praise Absolutely. God. Thank you, Lord. Now, just all you need to do from now on is start praising him and thanking him for it. Thanking him for the trials and thanking him for the answers in Jesus' name.
Thank you. That's Amen. What I've been doing. Yeah. I just needed, you know, more than just myself. Leon prayed to me also, you know, earlier when we were talking about, last time I was on, I was trying to tap to talk, but I never got to talk. I wanted to, before we get up, I just want to throw this out for next week. Can we talk about the message of the cross and the grace and his blood?
You talking about salvation?
No, just the message of the cross and the grace and his blood.
Okay. We can probably do that. Somebody want to go ahead? Go ahead, Leah.
Oh, I meant next week.
Oh, next week. Okay.
Yeah, I meant for next session.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take it one at a time. We talked about grace here not too long ago. I remember when it was. It's a few weeks ago, wasn't it, Leah? I don't remember what day it was. Yeah, grace. We can talk about the cross. We talked about that in the past too, and what it means.
Hey, Michael, David's got a good download about grace on the message board. If you know how to get on the message board, you can download that a file about grace.
Yeah, he's. Yep, he probably does. He said, have you been through all of the studies on site, Sharon?
I'm sorry, was that for me?
Yeah, I said, have you been to the site to look those things up? Go do a site search on UBM on each one of those subjects.
And, okay, I'm trying to get it up on my computer, but I'm on my cell phone. I'm having a problem pulling it up. So, but I will.
Okay.
Yes, I will.
Yeah.
Go through that.
So let's see, the cross, grace, and what was the last one?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Cross, grace, and what was the other one?
His blood.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Yeah, we've been over all of those here on the conference call. Time's passed. We can do it again. We can kind of give you a breakdown of what we did next week. We just, you know, what I like to do is somebody's got a problem with it, they can do that. We can do that. Wade, go ahead, brother. Wait a minute, let me unmute you. Go ahead now.
I just wanted prayer and guidance so that I can get free from a judgmental spirit and from fleshly thoughts.
Okay.
And a critical spirit, my wife says.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we command that critical spirit to go from Wade. Judgmental, go in the name of Jesus. And those bad thoughts, we command those to go in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for placing it in Wade to believe that they're gone and to do just like Denny was talking about. Believe that it's God now in you and it's not your flesh. He's dead. The old flesh is dead. We don't have to worry about it anymore. And just believe and it'll happen. God will take it away from you. And we thank you, Father, for doing that for Wade. In Jesus' name. Thank you for taking those critical spirits to you. You know, there's one thing that I always remember about judgmental and critical spirits and things like that. When we get to doing that, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. It's going to come back on you. And so I always remember that when I start opening my mouth about somebody else, you know. So I just try to, from now on, I just try to just don't say anything bad about them.
When I catch a thought, I shut it down.
You know? Yeah, good. And then tell the Lord, ask the Lord to take it out of your mind, you know.
Yeah.
I always like what some people often said, and that was just try to see the Jesus in everybody.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
That's an interesting statement. Yeah. Let me ask about that, Michael. See the Jesus in everybody. What exactly do they mean by that? Because I'm thinking like, well, non-believers, I don't have Jesus. So what do they mean by that?
First thing you got to remember what the Word of God says is you can't judge the lost.
Yeah.
So you just keep, you know, and I'm not talking about you.
No.
I'm talking about all of us. We just need to not do that at all. Don't judge the lost. We need to pity the lost.
Yeah.
But as far as a brother or sister, you're just supposed to see Jesus in them.
Oh, I see.
Because they're all in a different, everybody's in a different position than we are. You know, everybody's.
Yep.
Either more mature or less mature. And we don't know where they've been, you know. It might be that they're less mature in one area that you're more mature in, but more mature in another area that you're less mature in, you know. And so that's what I'm saying. We can't have that critical spirit or judgmental. Go ahead, Angelica.
Gotcha.
Yeah, brother, I just wanted to confess the same thing, just being judgmental and critical, you know. I understand the grace message. I really do. But it seems that, I don't know how to explain this. It seems like my heart is opposed to, I don't know how to explain this. Other brothers and sisters in the Lord, maybe not taking their walk as serious. And I judge that. And I just want to confess that as sin, because I just went through a major trial, and I feel like the Lord's bringing me out of it, but I certainly don't want to fall back into that same, you know, reaping what I sow. And I'm not sure why that is. And I'm not sure that, I'm not sure.
Well,
I'm not sure what to do about that. You know, because I love people and it's so, you know, I wish I could impart my heart, but you know, I guess it, maybe there's some spiritual pride there or something like that. And I just confess that it's sin too. And so Lord, forgive me and just keep me in prayer, please.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for doing that for Angelica. And Lord, we thank you for placing good thoughts in her mind. George, you're sharing your screen for everybody. hit your unshare. There you go. All right. I said, what happened to my computer here?
The same thing I was going. What's going on here?
I didn't know what was going on either. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a little encouragement to Joe that how important it is also to pray for the lost because, you know, we don't know if they're always going to be lost or they're going to, you know, and be found and saved. I know that there was people praying for me in the sidelines when I was lost, and that's, you know, what changed my direction is that yeah. Other people's prayers, you know, to bring me around. It was nothing I did. It was God working through, you know, interceders. So it's real, and it's hard sometimes, you know, if somebody's done you wrong or irritating you at work or whatever, but it really opens up forgiveness and it gets rid of a lot of spirits in you when you pray for people that are causing strife or that are truly lost and really evil. Sometimes you see changes in them, other times of changes that you don't see, but it's very important to pray for the lost. So I just wanted to get that out there before we got off subject.
Amen, yeah.
Amen.
I agree, yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Go ahead, Pat.
Tim.
I know one thing that the Lord showed me was, and I appreciate that thought about seeing the Christ in people, in our brothers and sisters. But I think one of the things that also helped me was that seeing that it was God's hand leading those people across my path in whatever form, and that he had a purpose in it. And if that person coming to me created a condition that I wanted to be judgmental or critical of them, then as long as I was able, and it seemed like if I could stay in the habit of just thanking God for this person that came into my life and created this disruption and created this temptation to criticize or to get angry or whatever. Sometimes it's hard to do it in the emotion, but if you can jump out ahead of it and speak into it and thank the Lord for bringing that person into your life, it's like he gives you a pause to refocus and see the condition from his perspective, so to speak. And it's just been very helpful to me, just in that aspect of a critical, because it kind of takes the voice of the devil out of that situation and kind of gives you, puts you back into a place where it's a little bit easier to reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, like we were talking about before. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in real quick.
Amen. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi. I'd like to, I too would like to confess I've been critical and judgmental here lately. I confess that as sin, and I repent of that. And I could use prayer too. Thank you.
Okay. Father, we just lift up Barbara to you, Lord. We command that critical spirit to go, judgmental spirit to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just ask and we pray that you place it in her heart to just see them like you see them, Lord. Let her see them like you see them, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. We kind of went through the night pretty good. And I appreciate everybody's prayers. Through all of this trial that I went through, and my family went through, and Lord, I just thank you for bringing us into these trials, because it might. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody else is trying to talk. Lord, I thank you for bringing us through these trials and getting us on that. Somebody was talking about the highway of holiness. That's where we want to be, Lord. We have to be on that because we love you and we want to do the things that pleases you, Lord. That's our whole purpose in life is to please you. I want to please you with every act that I do and place it in my heart to do that, Lord. And just like we were talking about tonight, Lord, when somebody comes up ahead of me or in my life for a reason, and that reason is to get rid of flesh, to kill that old flesh. And when they come before me, you know, they like somebody, I think it was Patrick talking about, be able to jump ahead and look and say, okay, this is the trial. Lord, I'm just going to bless him. Or her. I'm going to bless them. I thank you for blessing them, Lord. I'm not going to allow anything the devil is trying to do here to get me off course. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm just going to love them. I'm just going to ask you to love them, Lord, and bless them, bring them into the kingdom. You know, and Lord, give us that attitude of loving everybody, even if they hate us, Lord. Give us that heart like you've got, Lord. That's what I want. I want a heart like yours, Lord. When you were here, you loved everybody. And we thank you, Father, that you're doing that. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we ask that you be with us until we come again Thursday night, Lord willing. And we just praise you for all the work you're doing in each one of us in the name of Jesus. Lord, give us all a good night's sleep tonight. Give us dreams and vision of the things to come, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that if there is any idols in our hearts, if there is any thing in our heart that needs to be taken care of, that you'll show it to us so we can address it immediately. And praise you, Father, and thank you for leading us through this, Lord, this walk that you've got us on. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. Good night, folks. I'm having a hard time.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.